everyone. This is the Marquis MDP, Michael Debar. You know, when I'm traveling from Milan to Minsk, I'm listening to Tom and Zeus on Shout It Out Loudcast.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. This week, we're here with episode 55 and a very awesome and cool special guest. Zeus, who's joining us this week?
It's none other than Tuck Smith of Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. Tom, that's who we have coming in.
It's awesome. This is one of the... I hate to say the word cool again, but this guy is just a cool guy. I mean, it was amazing. We shot the shit and had a friggin' blast with him. And we love his music. You're going to love the conversation. We talk Kiss, music in general, him, his band. It's awesome.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I think you're going to like it and be surprised about where this conversation goes. So without further ado, Huck Smith.
All right. This week, our very special guest is a man who is responsible for proving that rock is not dead and it is alive and it is kicking ass. His latest EP, Ballad of a Misspent Youth, and his latest single and video for Glory Bound are all out now. And I'm telling you, they are spectacular. He is Tuck Smith of Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. Welcome to the show, Tuck.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate being on the Van Halen podcast. Oh, shit. My bad. It's Kiss, right? Yeah.
Hey, we talk Van Halen, too. We talk everything on here, but we're happy to have you, buddy.
I'm fucking with you. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy to be here.
So awesome. We immediately off the bat have three connections with you and Kiss we put together.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, you did a cover of Hard Luck Woman during the pandemic, I believe, right?
Yes. I did. If you want, I can wait till all three connections to tell you about them individually.
Sure.
Because I probably have stories, yeah.
Yes. Number two, we saw you on the Kiss Cruise.
Yep.
Number three, there's a little star on your eye in your latest video, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
And a little star childish kind of makeup there. So there's my three, and I'm sure there are more. But those are the three that come off top of my head. Tell us a little bit about each.
Yeah, there's definitely more. Sorry, the allergies are whooping my ass.
No worries.
I apologize.
It's okay.
All right. What was the first one? The cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've always been a huge Kiss fan. And I'm not what you would call the obsessive nerd like some of the Kiss guys, but I respect that. For me, it's more than casual, but not super fan. I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Okay. Major influence on me. So I didn't know the rules of engagement, obviously, when I did that Kiss song. It was strictly, you know, we're locked in our house for 2 years.
Yeah.
And the label I was on was like, look, you can't release any original music. If you want to do a couple covers, they have to be big songs by big artists. You can do it. So my buddy Keith Nelson's that plays in Buckcherry. I'm like, yo, dude, you have a 12 string. Can you play that? And I'll do the vocals. We'll do a little cover. The most innocent shit in the world. Okay. Then I'm like, my buddy shoots videos and we're in quarantine or whatever. And I'm like, dude, let's just meet up. We'll do our COVID test. Come to the rehearsal spot. I'll dress like a Paul Stanley-esque character and we'll just film a thing for fun, right? Little did I know the backlash I was going to get from Kiss, crazy Kiss psychos for that. Because one, of course I know that Peter Criss sang that song.
Oh, that's where they came out.
But I identify, like anybody who's into Kiss, they have their spirit animal. I'm Paul Stanley. That's who I am. You might be somebody. You might be somebody else, right? So to me, I'm like, why would I dress up in my non-spirit animal? But the thing is, Paul Stanley wrote that composition. It was his song.
Yeah. Correct.
So I'm like, that'll be fine. It did not matter. The hell that was unleashed online.
We can totally tell that shit. We know.
You would think I directed their fucking mother, insulted their mother, disrespected them.
I can believe it.
So that will be my first and last hoorah into doing Kiss, because fuck this piece of shit. He should go back to flipping burgers. That makeup is terrible on his eye. I mean, I didn't take it serious, but they were so mad about the star. And I was like, dude, I put it on myself. And I was like, this is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is pretty good. I was like, proud. Anyways, I wouldn't change anything for the world. It was fucking awesome. But you know, also what's funny, another Kiss connection, which is super funny, is my old band Biters. We were massive influence.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss. And we did the Kiss cruise as well. And for Halloween, we did a Kiss like tribute thing. We dressed up and we worked hard as fuck on the set. And we did like our original songs, but the first half of the set was like classic Kiss songs. And, you know, my wife that I'm married to now is so fucking smart. She just has like that sixth sense. You know how some women do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how am I going to trick this bitch? So during Halloween, dressed up as Paul Stanley in the middle of the set, I called her on stage and proposed to her in the Paul Stanley makeup.
No way. That's amazing.
Yeah. How fucking white trash is that? I mean, that's awesome. So there's like, her family's like, oh, how'd it happen? It's like, yeah, well, he was fucking dressed as Paul Stanley
on a Kiss cruise. I love explaining the Kiss cruise to non like music or Kiss fans. What do you mean a Kiss cruise? What the hell is that all about?
If you liked Kiss when you got on the boat.
Oh, jeez. I was holding up a Paul Stanley boot.
Well, this is what I wore. These are like a couple $100, but I thought for the tribute, the most important part of the outfit is the boot, right?
Yeah.
So they're on display on my little studio right here at all times.
Okay.
Anyways, you can tell I'm like, have energy about this. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. Yeah.
We love the Kiss energy, but listen, we run a Kiss podcast. This is our sixth year. We have a funny little gimmick that we make fun of the comments that we'll get once in a while. If we fuck up,
if we fuck up.
Well, you know, Ace did a solo on that. Somebody will write into us, what the fuck? That was Paul's solo on that.
It's awful.
I like it because I like weird people, interesting people, characters, and these guys are definitely fucking out of their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Kiss Cruise, that's the second connection, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we were on the last two Kiss Cruises.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So we didn't see your proposal.
Yeah.
Well, no, the proposal was in Atlanta at Star Bar.
I thought it was on the cruise. Okay.
I totally got confused. I thought it was on the Kiss cruise.
No. It was at Star Bar on a Halloween show.
Oh, gotcha. That's the only way.
So there's pictures of that, which is funny. Kiss Cruise, man. Fucking love it. Made a lot of great fans, which I don't call them fans. I call them friends because I try to meet everybody and talk to everybody.
Yep.
And we went over really, really well. My solo band and Biters did it as well. And it was fucking awesome for sure.
How did that happen? How did you get connected with the cruise? Like you just,
I think that, you know, my manager has some history with Doc McGee and it's
okay. There you go.
But you know, Sixth Man also liked me and stuff. So I just think I'm a good fit. Cause I play like, I'm very classic rock influenced. 70s is a lot of
work. Yes.
So it just kind of fits. So yeah. Okay. More, you want more Kiss shit? This is funny. So when I was writing for my first solo record, which actually got shelved, I went to California and I was writing with all these different writers. You try to get songs and shit and you try to collaborate. So I ended up writing a song with Tommy Thayer. I like Tommy a lot. Some people hate. He's a great guy, great guitar.
Oh, no, we love him.
He's fucking amazing.
He gets a lot of shit.
That is one of the coolest, most professional, talented dudes you'll ever meet. I met him. You go to his fucking house. It's got the Mexican tiled like brick shit on it. It's fucking nice as fuck, dude. I grew up in rural Georgia. So, you know, you're here like in California at this big thing.
Yeah.
And Tommy was so cool. And we wrote a song, you know, look, dude, when you first meet me, some people don't know what to think or whatever. Once he got warmed up to me, so excited. We wrote a killer song. And he calls me and goes, "Hey, man, I really love this song. Can we go into the studio tomorrow and cut it?"
Wow.
And he fucking booked a studio in Santa Monica. And we went down there and we cut the song the next day after we wrote it. He was just so excited to do it. You know, so if that shows you what kind of person he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. For sure.
That's amazing.
Awesome. That was killer.
So tell us. So we mentioned the Glory Bound video, the newest song, the newest single and video, which is fantastic. The video is friggin' awesome. But what prompted you to kind of throw in the little Easter eggs of the Kiss makeup in there?
Well, like that was that Hard Luck Woman video.
Okay. Okay.
And so what happened was the guy, the director of the video is one of my best friends, Video Raheem.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shot every video together through Biters. We did three for my last record. We've already did two for this. So we're very close. Yeah. And, you know, because I'm an independent artist right now with no label funding, I've got to get very creative on my videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first video, Take the Long Way, my only call I had to was signs with a marker, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so you have to get clever with your budget. So this, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of new fans kind of coming in and discovering me right now. So I'm like, how can we kind of show them my history? So we pulled a bunch of archival footage. That video is 10 years.
Gotcha. Right? Okay. Yeah.
It's 10 years long. So it's got, you know, we went back to my hometown, to my high school that kicked me out fucking three times in a row. I went back to my dad's gym in my hometown. He's got you know, if you've seen the video, and it's got all this footage of Biters and a lot of my friends, some of them that have passed. It was just, it was emotional kind of anthology thing. So we threw in that Kiss thing because it was cool. It was like right in the pandemic. And then, you know, there's footage of me on stage with Cheap Trick and things, just stuff that's kind of been important to me. And Kiss and Cheap Trick have kind of been just foundations. I've always listened to them. They've been huge influences. So to have those in there are as important as my friends.
Yeah. Right? Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out our mutual friend's name, and that's Jay from the Hook Rocks.
Oh, that dude sucks.
Speak up and say
it. So we're going to be honest then? Yeah,
I'm just kidding. No, he's one of the best guys. I love
him. Jay has been promoting your shit for so long, and I'm not going to lie. I am the type that I don't find new music. I go back and discover bands that I heard are great that I never got into, and I start going backwards and find them. So you are one of the few artists that I've listened to new that I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome. So, and I got to give credit to him because he's the one who introduced us to you. And, you know, you were also on the cruise, so we knew you and heard you there too as well. But I really got into it. And what I find that I like a lot of 70s artists, and I feel like your style is like a perfect niche in there. And there's so many 70s artists that come to mind. So, but I'd like to hear from you, which ones were your influences?
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Like influences things. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's give a shout out to not only Jay, but like even you guys for having me on the thing, because all this stuff really matters to me in relationships. And look, this industry is so fucking hard. You got to try to have fun while you're at it. So any kind of like community or stuff like this is super cool to me. So thank you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Shout out to our boy Jay.
Yeah.
I would say this, like, you know, as far as influences, and I don't want to be long-winded, but there's reasons why people get into music and things. So, you know, where I grew up in rural Georgia, my upbringing was kind of fucked up. And I really wanted to rebel from everything that was normal there, whether that be religion, you know, status quo, politics, anything. So I immediately gravitated towards punk rock. And it was more like fuck the world, very anti-establishment, which rock and roll was made to be anti-establishment. So what happened was I got into punk rock really heavy, like hardcore punk rock. And you're talking about 13, 14 skateboarding. And what that led me was to get into bands like The Clash and Buzzcocks and stuff. And, you know, that leads you into bands like New York Dolls. And so if you're a huge New York Dolls fan and then you go, what? One of my mentors that was quite a bit older than me that grew up during Kiss was like, you like The Dolls and all this stuff. Check this out. And I remember on YouTube him showing me I remember it was a huge impact on me. It was like a core memory. He showed me, look, dude, I thought Kiss was like, I want to rock and roll all night. I didn't give a fuck about it. That was whatever. Right. Because I'd only like seen in passing, like the more commercialized, you know, Disney kind of version of Kiss. He showed me Old Grey Whistle Test, like had to be 74 or something. I don't remember. And they were playing maybe like Black Diamond or something. And it was so punk rock and energy, right? And it was pre-punk rock. And they were playing so fucking hard. And it was so outlandish. It connected with me immediately. And then the next thing you know, I'm getting blackout drunk listening to Deuce and Strutter. And it's like something you turn on at every party, pre-gaming, you know, after the bar or whatever.
Sure.
And Kiss became kind of a soundtrack to my life. So that was a huge influence on me. Other than that, all that glam stuff, Slade, Sweet, Mott the Hoople, David Bowie,
T-Rex.
Yeah. Huge.
I can see.
Huge stuff. But I also am a massive power pop fan. And Cheap Trick is probably my favorite band. And then I went off on tangents to all these rare power pop bands and things like that. And so I really could pick almost any genre out of rock and other musics that I love. But, you know, glam and power pop, hard rock, that kind of stuff is what really resonates with me. It's more song oriented. And that's kind of what I'm attracted to. I never really got into metal as much because just my background, somebody like Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy, he really spoke to me. On a songwriting level. And then when I really started getting into the art of trying to write songs, I started gravitating towards the Tom Petty's and things like that to kind of learn the conversational craft. But what I like to do, let's say with a song like Ballad of a Misspent Youth, that is me trying to write a Paul Stanley Kiss riff. Because when I listen to 70s Kiss, they were basically trying to do Rolling Stones riffs without Keith's tuning. And standard tuning. And that's what made those early Kiss riffs sound like that. They sounded, if you played those early Kiss riffs with open tuning of Keith Richards, it wouldn't sound like Kiss. Mm-hmm. It's because those chords are so tight and he does those.
You know, he's playing the guitar.
You know, like it's that same shape, but it's in regular tuning. Which is a fucking vibe. So So what I like to do is I like to pull like the song, like the storytelling aspect from like a Springsteen or a Petty, but then put it behind, you know, a Kiss kind of riff or Cheap Trick kind of riff or whatever, and just kind of put influences. So I know that was long winded.
No, it's awesome.
I was going to say the only one I was going to add is a little bit of me, like, because I get the country tinge. I'm a big country fan as well. So I get the little country tinge that you have, the little almost like Bakersfield sound, a little Graham Parsons in you, and things like that. That's 70s kind of.
I'm from the South, so I'm very, very Southern as it is. So that stuff, you know, wears off on you big time.
Gotcha. Yes. Gotcha.
So I'm holding up. I'm a vinyl guy.
Oh, cool. Me too.
So I'm holding up the vinyl of this.
Here we go.
I was super excited that you offered a vinyl. But so when I'm listening to this, I can't stop listening to this record. Pretty much for the same reasons that you talk about it. It's got the power pop. You could totally feel and hear the Kiss and the Cheap Trick influences, and it's fantastic. But the thing that really attracted me to your sound and your music is that in this day and age, your style of music is so unusual for new and emerging artists, because everybody nowadays is metal or rock or that. And there are bands that I like that are in that genre that, you know, whether it's post grunge or it's metalcore or whatever. So to hear this, it really is a breath of fresh air when we're listening to it. And it really, it just like, it energizes you as a music fan to be like, holy shit, rock is alive and well. That's why I kind of gave you that at the intro, because even Gene Simmons will sometimes, oh, rock is dead, this and that we talk about. But I love that you are making this kind of music, and I really think it's spectacular. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the show, was to promote you and expose you to our listeners. But selfishly, we wanted to talk to you about your music,
because
It's just badass.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, right, and I can really speak about the rock and roll scene in particular. I could probably speak about the music industry because I'm involved in it. But
yeah,
right now is, we're in a weird place in rock because it's not as popular as it used to be, but people want it to come back.
Yep.
But right now, instead of artists, and what I mean by artists are like fucking weirdos and outcasts that started bands. Traditionally, they drove culture, right? If you go listen to any band, they're fucking weirdos, right? Or something's wrong with them, and they drove the culture. You could even go from Kurt Cobain to Bob Dylan. It don't fucking matter. Right now, we're, because of social media, one, we're in a consumer-driven culture, right? Because you can go online and go and voice your opinion, right? And there's not as much money. So labels aren't developing artists like they used to. I talk about this all the time. Somebody like John Mellencamp had to put out several albums before he broke. Even like Bowie didn't really get big to like Young Americans. Like Ziggy Stardust, that didn't really break him in the States. So it was a development over two albums, three, four, five. That doesn't exist anymore, right?
Yeah.
So now what you have is the consumer. And this is nothing against the consumer. And this is kind of a controversial opinion, but when the consumer drives the culture, you're going to get very palatable, vanilla, straight down the middle things. They have to be super familiar and almost familiar to the point where it's satire. And so basically the influences of a lot of new rock bands are really only pulling from four, maybe five of the biggest bands in the world. They're not stepping out. You're going to have your Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, and really that's it. And because that's what the common non-music nerd like us knows. They really only a lot of know the mainstream. And so a lot of these bands are going, fuck, if I want to be liked or seen, I need to sound like something that's so fucking familiar, it almost sounds like a parody. And I just think we're in a weird space of rock right now. I can't help that I am a record collector and like things that aren't popular right now. Does that mean I'm going to go and try to sound like what's popular? I just can't do it. I'm allergic to the bullshit. So I tell people I'm like operating my own food truck in the corner of the fucking parking lot. And if you want to try something different, it's over here.
That is one of the most perfect analysis of what's going on in music, because like Zeus, I mean, sometimes I admittedly I'm a little bit more flexible with newer music, but I find myself listening to, whether it's my vinyl collection or Spotify, it's all 70s, 80s and 90s bands. Very few, if any, new bands. And that's not because I'm not interested in new rock. It's just because, like what you said, Tuck, these bands are parroting their influences rather than trying to do something original like you are. You've been influenced by Kiss and Cheap Trick, but you're not parroting them. You're using them as a you know, kind of like an engine to make the music that you make, and you're original. All these bands, whether it's at a festival or, you know, whatever, that it's very difficult to tell them apart from each other. And I think that's a shame. I think you nailed it.
Right. I mean, look, even in like that, and I'm not here to like throw shade or be rude or anything.
No, go ahead.
to me, these are just my truths. Now,
yeah,
look, dude, I'm going to be the first one. I've been or am guilty of a lot of the stuff I bitch and complain about. And so I try to be aware. Look, I'm not going to sit here and deny that I haven't ripped off Thin Lizzy like a motherfucker. But the difference is I'm not going on stage with an afro playing bass talking in an Irish accent, right?
Some
of this shit is they're taking it so far. But when you go look at reactions to consumers, they'll go, "You guys sound exactly like so-and-so band. That's awesome." And to me, I'm going, I don't think you're talented and you work hard or whatever, but I'm like, fuck, man. Like, you know, so sometimes I feel like I don't have a place in this music industry, but I can't quit playing. So fuck it. We're just in a really weird time. And I think the social media is kind of pushing us in that way because look, if you look at just like the 90s, you could turn on the radio, a rock radio, and on the same block, the same hour, you would have Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana, Better Than Ezra, fucking Pearl Jam, Gin Blossoms, Tool.
All bands we love. Go ahead. Yep.
But what I'm saying is like, you know, it was so wide ranged and different, right?
Yep, absolutely.
When I take my song to radio, I just try to do a radio campaign for Take the Long Way. I have no format. There is no format. There's an active rock format. And then there's like an alternative format. For me, for active rock, they like me. I'm too bubblegum. You know, because it's all like, yeah, whoa, yeah. Or like, you know, like, and I don't have anything against it, but like, and then you go to alternative music and it's more stuff like Lord, where it's not even rock.
Yeah, right.
Or like, you know, there's some great bands, but it's more like what you would call like pop. So there's not really a platform for anything kind of different. And so if you want to survive, I know a lot of labels are telling their bands, you need to either go alternative or active rock, because those are really the only two platforms to survive in the mainstream. It's just a weird time, man.
Yeah, it's funny because I subscribe to satellite radio, Sirius XM, and they have like a million stations with a million genres in niche things. And as we're talking, and I'm thinking of what you're saying in your music. So Octane is the channel on Sirius XM that plays quote unquote new rock. But all the bands that they play sound like bands that are impersonating the bands that were popular 5 years ago. They're like, so I'm wondering where would Sirius XM play Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts? And I think you kind of answer that. It's like, well, you're not active rock. You're not alternative rock. But I think that's why I like it, because it is different. It's unique. We're not used to this. I mean all that as a compliment. Let me be clear.
No, I'm fully aware of like the fucking situation I got in myself into with like with really no home base. But, you know, Little Steven's Underground Garage has played me before.
Okay.
And he plays.
Michael DeBarge runs that.
Yep. Michael DeBarge.
Friend of the show. We love him.
You know, I'm a huge Michael DeBarge, but not only Silverhead is one of my favorite bands from that.
Yeah.
Era.
Yes.
Love Michael. He's the best.
It's such a travesty that they're not. I always say they sound like the bastard child of like Rolling Stones and Dead Boys, but more like satanic. Okay. You know what I mean? They were anyway, look, dude, the UK, even the radio over there, I was trying to push my last single to radio and they're like, look, we love the song. We've supported you before, but there's a new Judas Priest and new Pearl Jam song. And so we don't have room for you. And that's what's happening right now. Even like Spotify playlisting, you know, editorial playlisting.
Yeah.
If you get one of those, it can put you into the algorithms and agents and labels and touring. They look at all that shit, right? There's no playlist that somebody like me could fit in. It just doesn't fucking exist.
Yeah.
And that's just something that I'm going to have to figure out how to get around and be clever.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways you can figure that out is podcast. That's one of the ways that, you know, music gets out there in knowledge, because that's how I got you. And then also you did something unique. You jumped on the Kiss cruise. Yep. I saw you there. And then I got a buddy that runs a podcast. Again, as I said, I don't get into new music, but when we were talking about it with you and like, we wanted to get you on the show and I'm like, all right, where do I find this stuff? I go on Amazon. I fucking hate streaming. I fucking hate it. And because I want a physical product. I'm not going back to fucking vinyls again.
You can, you can do me. Both. You can do both.
You want a CD?
So hold on a second.
Hold on.
Let me finish this. So I started with vinyls. I went to cassettes. I went to CDs. I'm not fucking going back. So that's my CD collection. As we were speaking, because I was listening to your stuff, because I can say a couple things. Number one, your songs. I don't give a shit what label I put you in. You do good songs. Some may sound like punk. Some may sound like power pop. Some may sound like alt country. I don't give a shit. I like your songs. I like your voice. I like your lyrics. I like the groove. I like the rhythm. It works for me. So I listen to you because I don't buy new shit unless I buy the CD. So I went on Amazon. I'm like, fucking unlimited music. I'm like, I'm fucking streaming him from Amazon Music. As we're speaking, I had to use Spotify to listen to all your music. But as we're speaking, I'm like, the fuck do I buy this guy's CD while we're talking? I went to your website. Listeners, are you hearing this?
That's where I got the vinyl. Website,
and I'm like, oh, fuck, he's got it. I just ordered the website. That was me that ordered it, by the way.
So, okay, I let get off my lawn rant was fucking awesome, number one, but you could have solved this by just going to my website because I made CDs for motherfuckers like you.
But then we would have been deprived of that rant. So that's the
I'm not going back.
It's definitely
worth not. But I don't even listen to CD, but I want to give the artist something. I think streaming rips you guys off, so I want to buy a physical product. I have the physical product. I download it to my computer. Yes, I still have a CD drive. I put it on my iTunes library, goes to my phone, and I hear it anytime I want to put a Bluetooth speaker or in my car. Now I have it, and I paid for it, and the artist got something, and I have it for my library as well. That's how I do it. Now, I'm not going back to vinyl. I love that he loves vinyl. I wish I had a passion for shit that he has for his vinyls and sounds like you have for yours. It's fucking ass backwards.
Look. You're fucking cracking me up right now. I'm trying not to laugh because if I start laughing, I'm
But this is
talking.
How we normally
this
are.
This is our show generally. This is what we do.
Well, I fucking love it. number one, there's a lot of salty motherfuckers like you that are CDs. Yeah. And I know this because I get fucking angry messages on Facebook. They want CDs. So I always include you, even though you're like the 5%, because look, you have a soul too. You know what I mean?
I don't want fucking streaming. I think it rips you guys off. I get into these arguments, people, because from what I understand, this is why concert tickets are so high. That's why concert shirts are so high. How else are you guys going to fucking make money?
But that's why I agree. I do the same thing, Zeus. I mean, I know you're not into vinyl, but
I get it.
But I support it. Right. I support Tuck by buying the physical product. And then I listen to it at home. I stream it. I do both. And I think that if you can buy a physical product, whatever your taste is, you should always do that. It's okay to stream, but I agree with Zeus. The artists need physical products need to be bought. I agree.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of artists and really support them, selling the fucking t-shirts and the records and the vinyl means more. It's just a way more realistic metric that, you know, because streams can be faked and bullshitted. So when somebody buys my record or whatever, or a CD, it really does mean a lot. And to your listeners out there, like, people, you know, not everybody knows how the sausage is made in the music industry, but yeah, streaming, it's a necessity now, essentially. You have to do it. I have to partake. But so people like, look, tomato, tomato, you got different tastes. I provide it. You bought it. Most of that money goes to me. And artists aren't getting rich. I'm not fucking going to the bar and buying fucking tequila shots at the titty bar because you bought some fucking vinyl. It all goes back into the business to make the next record, to, you know, to press the vinyl and stuff. So, hey, greatly appreciate
you're not buying a Bentley with the CD I just bought. What are you talking
about? No, my van has 380,000 miles on it. So
keep it going. Keep it going. Well, maybe this vinyl paid for an oil change, Tuck. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows?
Thank you.
But I do want to say this. And Zeus and I, in the past, we've talked about streaming versus physical. I think streaming, you know, if you can indulge me for a little minute here, I think streaming serves two purposes. I think it's a double-edged sword because I understand how it robs the artist of the physical product and sometimes, but I think it gives people an opportunity to explore new music at their fingertips that they might otherwise not be able to do. When we were growing up, in order to discover and listen to a new band, you had no choice but to spend the money. Now you can go on Spotify and be like, hey, I heard Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts on Tom and Zeus. Let me check them. Oh, these guys kick ass. I'm going to go buy the vinyl. You know what I mean? I think it does both.
But then pay the artist more.
I agree. Well, that's
because most of the money goes to the fucking head guy who's a gazillionaire now. All the artists are getting pennies.
Right. I'm not anti-streaming because, look, you can't fight technology, right? It's happening.
Correct, right. Right.
I use Spotify to reference mixes a lot when I'm working with the artist. So
yep.
I'm not hating it. But look, Netflix puts out all these fucking original movies constantly with millions and millions of dollars that they make. There's money being made off streaming.
Totally.
People are getting rich.
Yep.
The bigger artists are getting rich, of course, because they're getting millions and billions of streams. But the thing is, somebody like me, my music will not get heard because there's paywalls.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, you would go fucking hire a hooker to give a hand job to a radio DJ or some shit. Now you've got to
wrong profession.
Yeah. Well, it's not anymore, buddy. So yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Fuck.
If you want me to pay a hooker to give you a back rub, I'll do that. Yeah.
Back rub. That's it.
Wait until we stop recording. We'll get into those details.
That's all.
When we visit you in Nashville, you can hook us up.
I don't know any hookers, but I'll find one for you. Don't
right. Hey, I do want to ask you something else, kind of going back to your influences. So forgive me if this isn't an influence, but as I'm listening to the Ballad of a Misspent Youth album, we checked off, you know, power pop, Cheap Trick, Kiss, etc. But are you a fan at all? And have you ever been influenced by the Replacements? Because I hear some of that.
I'm a huge Murph. Paul Westerberg and Replacements fan.
Yeah, okay.
And what's funny is, you know, he covered Kiss and a lot of other classic rock
bands. That's right.
So I think it's just about the influences. Okay. Somebody who grew up on punk and then gotten the classic rock and stuff later kind of creates that sound. You know, somebody like a Jesse Malin is kind of the same way, or a Tommy Stinson.
Yep.
So totally. Yeah, that's a really good ear.
Yeah, cool.
So that means you could have been on the single soundtrack, right? That's what we're thinking.
Oh, that's one of our favorites.
So you know what's funny? I'm the guy that once a week, sometimes multiple times a week, man, you were just born in the wrong era. Man, you're very underrated. Why aren't you bigger? What's wrong? You know,
it's yes.
Like, it's cool, but after a while, I'm like, God damn it. Is it me? But, you know, look, it's nothing I can control. I would rather just have a core fan base that loves what I'm doing instead of trying to compete in the fucking rat race and keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, that kind of freedom must be, it must be nice. You know, I've read your bio on your website and everything. And it must be nice to, like you said, you're not held hostage, quote unquote, by the labels, by a huge management team, that you can be who you want to be and do what you want to do.
Yeah, especially release music at my own pace. I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately because people just want to hear me talk shit. I have a great time. I love it. So if I'm repeating myself,
no
podcast, I'm sorry, but I'm very blessed. Like, I produce records to make a fucking living, and it's a hustle, man. But the good thing is during that, I learned how to make my own records, and I can record 75% of my record myself.
Nice.
So that's a luxury most artists don't have. If I couldn't do that, I don't think I could be independent right now. So that's a very blessing. Now, it's also a curse because I could sit here in my underwear and do 500 vocal takes and not even know what the fuck's going on. So yeah, the freedom is great. Look, man, cause we're on a Kiss thing, I could reference it all day. I think somebody like with TikTok, right? Now, my personality and the total sum of my upbringing and experiences don't lend well to the gimmicks on TikTok that spike the algorithms that people like. Right. It feels disingenuous to me. Okay. That's not hating on people who do it, because if Paul Stanley was putting Kiss together right now, he would be all over TikTok posing and doing all the
Did you just do
shit.
A Paul Stanley pout look?
Yeah. Oh. But what? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. He'd be like, this is Kiss on TikTok Rock. So all I'm saying is, like, you have to be genuine to you, right? And so what I'm finding is a lot of people are like, this feels disingenuous to me, but I'm going to fucking play these games. And that's where I get allergic. The labels have this one size fit all kind of curriculum.
Yeah.
You've got to do a top 40 cover song, and then you've got to lip sync this and do this bullshit. And for me, it felt like I was drinking poison. So I said, fuck it. Now, that's probably one of the reasons why I'm not as big as I probably think I should be, because I can't fucking play the game. So more power to the artist who it feels good to go do the song and dance. More power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to say compare, because it's completely different. We know exactly what you're talking about. There's games and shit. When we first had to learn how to do this podcast stuff, where to go, how to do things. And eventually we're like, we can't play this fake shit. So Tom and I were college buddies with the same fucking stupid childish humor.
Yeah. And the same short temper.
And yeah. And like we joke about it, like we fucking hate everybody, but we love everybody at the same time.
Now, let me ask you this. You guys drink?
Oh yeah.
Have you guys ever got drunk and just beat the fuck out of each other?
Not of each other.
Not of each other.
but y'all are bash brothers, like tag team.
Just we have the same mentality, and yeah. We just have no tolerance for stupidity and bullshit.
Well, I think so, that's grown up in
our Boston. Listeners love it because they know we'll go on rants all the time about bullshit, and they get us off our chest. Before I let you go, I have to mention one thing. One of my favorite fucking songs I've heard in God knows how long is Everybody Loves You When You're Dead. I fucking love it. I love that song. If you didn't tell me any better, I would say, oh, that's a classic rock song, Rod Stewart in the 70s, and he's just covering it. I wouldn't know. I would think like somebody like that wrote it.
I'm super humble and grateful, but I feel like some of the songs I wrote, if they were in a different climate, could have been like almost evergreens. And I don't have an ego, but like when I wrote that song, I'm like, this is a fucking classic.
Oh, I agree
song.
With you.
It's a great song.
And I put it out and nobody gave a fuck. And it was, you know, and it's just like, you want it to get heard, you got to dump a bunch of money into Instagram or whatever. And it's just like, fuck all that shit. So for you to say that, it means the world to me.
It'll come
around.
And
then for me,
somebody will pick it up something. You know what will happen? It'll be like some fucking smart guy will throw it in the background scene of a TV show or a movie. And then everyone's going to be like, oh my God, who wrote this song? And shit like that. Right. And all of a sudden you're Jeff Buckley. not his finals.
Well, then I am buying the hookers. Yeah.
But I mean, the talent is obviously there. And soon as I pick up, I don't like music right away when I listen to an album. I need to take a few times unless it's super catchy and hooky. Holy shit, your music is that. And so to win over this fucking curmudgeon, you got something going, buddy.
I'm gonna take it. That is that one of the highest compliments.
You should.
You should.
Because I'm a grouchy motherfucker.
You should because he doesn't like new music at all, ever. And I know he's not blowing smoke, Tuck, because when he first got it, he texted me and he goes, this album is fucking awesome.
Have you like fucking heard this?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I listen to music, you asshole.
So what you're saying is I fucking romanticized the Boston Bridge troll with my lullabies.
I don't know if it's a Boston Bridge. The Zakim Bridge. That's what it's called.
I like the alliteration, the Boston Bridge troll.
Well, when are you going to be touring up in this area so you can say it to our face and we can see and share those pops?
Okay. So, you know, like one thing about me is I like, instead of acting like everything is good all the time and doing some fake bullshit, I just like telling the truth. It's funnier.
Do it.
I love Boston. I cannot get a booking agent to fucking return my emails, call me back, take me on. I can't get anybody to book me. I've been my last agency, CAA, dropped me from the roster. They said I was fucking unbookable and I need somebody that can put me back in the clubs.
What?
I was dumped by the agency. I don't know, dude. I'm pretty easy to work with. What you see is what you get. I don't fucking know. I would love to. I like playing the Middle East. My old play Boston all the time.
You play the Middle East in Cambridge?
Yeah. I love
many Boston. A drunk nights on that area.
I just can't get anybody to fucking book me shows. And it's really disheartening at this point. And me, my manager, he's like, I'm super frustrated.
So how does that work? And it helped me out because in part of my ignorance, you say, I can't get anybody to book me. You said you have a manager. The manager can't call up a couple of the bars.
He
and
has.
Well, and they're like, we're all set?
No, it doesn't work like that. I wish it was that easy.
That's why I want you to explain it to me.
Shows right now, because there's a lot of venues have closed and you're doing like clubs and things, you've got to book about 4, 5, 6 months ahead of time. And you've got to have the contacts and you've got to do the negotiations. You know, is it a door deal? And to route a tour, you've got to put a bunch of stuff on hold. And it's a lot of moving parts. And it's not in my bandwidth to do. And it's not really what a manager does, book shows. So
I get it.
You know what I mean? So like and the thing is, I've toured, people come to my shows, but right now, a lot of these booking agencies, the rosters are loaded, infested with buy-on bands. And I mean buy-on bands like that will pay to go out to open for a band in 200 cap clubs. And what that's doing is it's taken away from artists like me that really aren't in the financial position, that don't come from that kind of money or have that financial backing. So a lot of the stuff, rock and roll has became a hobby for rich kids.
Yes.
Which is I'm not hating once again, but like if you have bills and other things, you can't compete. If somebody goes, I'm going to pay 10 grand. The thing is, the headlining artist, gas is more expensive. Hotels are double.
Yeah.
Food is double. You know, these headlining artists need to make money too. So if they're like, fuck, dude, I've got to pay bills and a family, I'm going to take this buy-on artist. And so that's another kind of weird thing we are in the industry right now. Wow. And a lot of, even if I got a tour, a lot of the opening spots don't even pay enough to cover your fuel. And if you go, I need more money, they go, there's 1,000 bands willing to play for free and 1,000 more willing to pay. That's a direct quote from one of my agents.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks so bad, because we live in the Boston area. I live in southern New Hampshire, right over the Massachusetts border.
Between live free or die.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
Between the Boston area and southern New Hampshire, the amount of rock clubs and small venues that are opening up, they're booked every weekend, because even if it's a band that you don't know very well or that you don't know at all, It's something to do on a Friday and Saturday night, and you could discover new music. And right. It sucks that you're down in Nashville and that you can't get up here, because I know the appetite for music, live music, where we live, it's crazy. There's so many clubs around here where people hang out on the weekends, just go see bands, whether discover new bands or a legacy act. So we would love for you to come up here, hopefully sometime soon, man.
I'm booking a couple shows now myself, but you know, I think in May I was on tour with Jared James Nichols, and dude, yep. We tried to get a show in Boston for fucking weeks, and we couldn't make it happen because
that's crazy.
We didn't have that direct relationship with the buyer, the club. like a booking agent would. So
yeah.
Look, dude, I'm gonna find one. I've got a guy helping me out in Europe. I'm gonna go to Europe and tour a little
cool.
bit. But man, I would love to. The Northeastern corridor up there is my absolute favorite area. East Coast is
yep.
You know, being from Atlanta and stuff, it's considered East Coast, even though it's the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what I like. So
cool.
Yeah, okay. Sweet.
Cool. Well, he's Tuck Smith from Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. His new album or EP and video, we've been raving about it. Please check him out. Tuck.
I was going to show you.
He's pulling out some of his stash right now.
Well, I was like, you know.
Weed?
We're talking.
You know, go ahead.
I love all the. I got all three of the Silverhead versions original. You know what I mean?
Holy shit! Wow.
Prized, but I want to show you what I found this in Prague on tour. And my last podcast I was on asked me what my prized possession.
Fuck.
Because you guys like Michael DeBarge, right?
Oh yeah.
He's a friend of the show. Yeah, he's a friend of the show.
I was in Prague, and I like collecting records and shit. And I spent a week's worth of per diem on this record. It was not cheap, but it's one of my favorite. It's a Japanese import, the Silverhead single.
Wow.
Thing. I mean, come on, dude. And it's
the
rare.
Fuck you get that.
Holy shit, that's incredible.
I'm going to send that to Michael. I'm going to show him a photo of that.
What, you know, me and Mike, what's cool, that I've been talking shit on social media. What's cool is I'm able to connect people like Michael DeBars and become friends with him through fucking Instagram and stuff. So how cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. He's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And we love him specifically. We got more into him because of his whole fucking Seinfeld skit.
Yeah.
That motherfucker, you were talking about a Renaissance man. I mean, he was able to put all his demons on a leash.
Yep.
But that motherfucker.
Did you see that Amazon special of his?
I loved it, dude. When he came in there, when Stones were recording and started singing, dude, I just like, God damn, what a motherfucker, dude.
Yep. So,
he's awesome.
Well, he's. Anyways, hold on. I'll wait for him to put all that stuff away, then we'll cut. No, I was just going to say, Tuck, before we let you go, why don't you plug all of your stuff and tell people where they can find you and buy your merch and support you, and where can people hear more about you?
Cool. All right. So any of the regular social media platforms, I'm active on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, T-U-K Smith. You can find me, and you can get links to my merch and stuff. So all my merch is on merchmountain.com. And that's linked from my website, Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. So look, I try to respond. You leave a comment, I'll try to respond. I try to engage and be there. So hit me up. Let me know any merch you guys buy helps me tour and get to Europe. So is that all the plugging for that? What else did I leave out?
Perfect.
Okay, cool.
It's good. He's Tuck Smith from Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. Check him out, buy his merch, and enjoy his music the way we have. Tuck Smith, it has been a pleasure. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, buddy. Appreciate it.
You guys are awesome. When I get to Boston, we'll drink a little bit of that fucking bean juice and talk some shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, we will. Thanks, buddy.
Brother. All right. Thank you, guys.
Tom, that was Tuck Smith. Thoughts?
Oh, it was great. He was awesome. I love it. Just so honest. Such like a refreshing type of interview. Not that we don't love all the people that we have on here for interviews, but a guy that kind of understands what's going on in the music world and how challenging it is, especially with his genre of music. You know, it's a unique genre of music for this day and age, and he explains that. We love his record. We're not just saying that. We bought his record or his CD even before we had him booked as a guest. So it's fantastic stuff. It's classic old school. It's great. He was great. Of course, the Kiss talk was awesome. So very, very cool and fun interview with him.
Yeah, I actually ended up buying it while I was on talking with you guys from his website because I was playing Spotify. So, he's a great listen. You'll like the songs. It's like the singer-songwriter type of talent, and he's just different. And if you if you like rock and roll songs and just good music, you're really going to get a kick out of him. And plus, there's a Kiss connection, and he's a fun, crazy, and lovable guy. So
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Till next time, peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.